This is a replay of the Wednesday night, New Year's night WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP for the world's best customer service. It's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. This is the final episode of the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club for the Christmas 2024 season, as it abruptly comes to a close and everything is back to normal, whatever passes for normal tomorrow. So this is the last edition, and hopefully we helped get you through it. Apologies again for Christmas Eve and Christmas night, but hopefully you enjoyed the Dusty Rhodes special that preempted me. And Dusty's just great. All right, so with that in mind, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We're going to get to Eduardo in Tampa. But before we do, I saw this article. Troubling rise in people admitted to the hospital. So there are going to be a lot of reasons, right? Well, that's when I read, due to a lack of vitamins, that I started to worry. And apparently, the NHS in Great Britain put together a list of what the issues were, as they find them very concerning. And this is going on stateside, too, believe me. But in terms of that, in 2024, there were 191,927 hospital admissions in England due to a lack of iron. How is that even possible? Also, the figures are up almost tenfold on hospital admissions for lack of iron from the previous year. So it's been on the rise, I guess, for about 20 years now. But vitamin B deficiency, other than folate, that's apparently another category all to itself, was on the rise for 15%. Over 2,236 hospitalizations alone for lack of vitamin B. Vitamin B12 or folate deficiency anemia, both of those together, led to about 3,500 hospital admissions. And I'm looking at this, you got to be kidding me. And of course, the folks who wrote this article want to tell you that the price of food, it's just unaffordable for people to eat healthy. And I'm sure that's absolutely true in a lot of countries. It's really not true in America, especially when you look at the prices of fast food. But I'll tell you, more than anything, fast food tastes good. A lot of the stuff that's absolute junk for your body, it tastes wonderful. And apparently, it's now winding people up in the hospital. So you've got 38,140 courses of treatment involving vitamin B12 deficiency anemia. And this is just amazing to me. And so they look at the list of what the symptoms are. The first thing they said is irritability. I said, well, that's everybody. But vitamin B deficiency includes fatigue, muscle problems, breathlessness, headaches, pale skin, vision problems, and heart palpitations. And as I'm reading this, and you can find it online, see the whole thing, but it's basically a tenfold rise in admissions for patients with diagnoses of things like iron deficiency. And again, the point of the article is to say that it's unacceptable that food is so pricey. No, the junk is just as pricey, but let's face it, most of us would rather have the pizza. Yeah, well, apparently, you may want to just watch a little about it. I'm not going to tell you to make it your New Year's resolution and go whole hog on this, though I'm sitting here with a bowl of brown rice. Don't start me. However, the occasional piece of broccoli would be good. I'm not advising Brussels sprouts. No one should know. They are good for you. Apparently, I wouldn't know. Leafy vegetables and spinach and things like that. So a well-rounded diet. But I had no idea that we were looking at hospitalizations, really, with the kind of numbers that we're talking about, hundreds of thousands, and the first number isn't a one. Well, so yeah, eat up. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Eduardo in Tampa, what's up tonight?
Hey, Happy New Year.
You too.
Yeah, so we made it.
Well, yes, we did. Was there any, I mean, I say, was there any doubt? Of course, there were tons of astrologers and psychics who expected all hell to break loose, but nothing. And of course, sadly, in some of the events, it did. But for the most part, most of us weren't on Bourbon Street.
Right. Yeah. Well, I couldn't wait till your show came on the air, because then you would lighten up the mood, you know, of the day. So, but, before I forget, I want to request for later, Glamour Profession by Steely Dan.
Okay. All right. We'll do that. Probably tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. I saw these two stories. The first one in San Pablo. So they had this baby inside of a bubble that drifted away at sea. But I guess it was tied to a rope on the beach, and it snapped, so that's why it was floating in the water, and then some boater came over and rescued the boy.
Yeah, and by the way, not a baby. The kid was 8 years old.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it wasn't like they did this to an infant, but nonetheless, yes, found drifting out to sea in an inflatable bubble on Christmas Eve. And all right, then. And this is in Sao Paulo, Brazil's biggest city. When the anchor rope snapped, sending him floating out to sea. And so I'm glad that the boaters happened to notice. But you really got to wonder why. They said the kid was very desperate. I guess he was desperate. He's in the middle of the sea alone at night. And so the immediate question was, does he have enough oxygen inside the bubble? And apparently the kid turns out to be fine. But what on earth? You know, what would cause you to say, I think I'll get inside what effectively is a bubble and just tether myself to the shore? What is the good part of that?
Yeah, I've seen it in the movies where they get in and obviously try and walk over the water inside the bubble, but only in the movies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, don't try this at home. Well, needless to say, the family was very desperate and very grateful, so it all ended well. But 8 years old, I figure the kid, though, couldn't have totally been alone. What were the other kids doing that caused him to say, yep, time to get in the bubble?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
There's better ways to have fun on the beach, I mean, than getting in a bubble. So.
Yeah, as I say, there's something we're missing here, because clearly this kid thought there was something great about this, and I wish they had explained in the story what that was.
Yeah. Well, thank God for the safety, for the save.
Yeah.
And then I saw this on DW News, these hikers in Bern, Switzerland. So they're retrieving these crystals. Mm-hmm. Quartz, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, if they wanted to, can they, like, pass that through security at the airport? I wonder. I mean, they'd probably do it locally, but that would be curious to know if they would be able to do that.
I don't see why that would set anything off for the most part, but
it's not a weapon or anything.
No, well, I mean, in terms of, you know, it's not metal. You know, what are the things that would set off a detector? And I don't think a crystal would. Obviously, I have absolutely no idea what they do at airports these days, but the crystal hunting is pretty big in the Alps. and believe it or not, and it's not not an unknown thing, and it's quartz crystals, and they, you know, good ones can be worth money. So much like the gold rush, it could be, you know, thousands of dollars. I mean, not hundreds of thousands of dollars, but, you know, some money. And what's been interesting to me in this over the years is that the things they find that aren't crystals that are interesting, like there was an ancient Roman shrine that was discovered last year. And there were 100 coins that were left as offerings from, you know, basically thousands of years ago. So I think that's more interesting than what they might be finding in the way of crystals. But, you know, it's thousands of years since hunter-gatherers were in those Alps. So clearly they were leaving some stuff. So I think last year there was also some 2,000-year-old Roman holy site that was found. And that was near Bern. So yeah, I think the interesting thing on this is not the crystals. It's what else they you know, the law of unintended consequence. What else they run into while they're doing this?
The history you find. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't doubt that there. But you know, there again, I don't know about you. I'm not even big about climbing a hill when there's snow on the ground. I mean, the Alps. You know. Okay then. I'll sit at home. You can just show me the pictures.
Yeah. I mean, I've done the rock climbing, but I wouldn't do any to that extreme. So.
Well, you haven't done it with ice on it, though, have you?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
So,
no,
and of course, they wax sentimental about this. Oh, it was the dreamiest trail. Yes, well, if you include nightmare as dream, I gotcha. But other than that, no. So... I don't know.
No, I've been hearing about accidents, I mean, throughout the years.
Recently there was a champion, God, she was in her 20s, and she died recently in an avalanche like that. Just horrible. So, yeah, it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you get on. Maybe I'll call tomorrow, but I'll let you get on to the next call here. But, it was great to hear you and your guests last night was very...
Yeah, it was
very
a lot of fun.
So I'm glad you were. I'm glad you're doing the countdown. That was great.
Oh yeah,
that was a better countdown than what I saw on TV.
Oh, well, I thought it was interesting that apparently there were some shows. I'm sure they were well edited that showed the countdown. I guess it's 26 hours worth of New Year's countdowns from the first one to the last one.
I had a couple of TVs on mute because I was listening to the radio, like your show, and I was waiting for them to show. Like maybe like a Dick Clark through in the past, but they didn't do it to this year. So I don't know. That was a shame, but that would have been great to see that.
Well, and it was raining in New York too, which wasn't too pleasant.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking maybe it should be snowing, but rain. Yeah. That's weird.
Oh, it happens. Well, look at all the tornadoes in the last couple of days in the South. I mean, enormous amount of interesting weather and not.
Oh, yeah. We get that system from Texas and it eventually made its way, I think, over here. So, yeah.
Sure. And not that it's never happening, but it's rare enough that it is something to note. This doesn't usually happen. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. We'll talk to
Raleigh.
You soon. Thanks. Appreciate the
call.
All
right. Thank you very much. Yes. All right. Have a good show.
All right. Yes. We have 11 bumpers. That's, you know, for an average show. And all of them are your requests. So the first one will be Ruth's. She wanted Tony Joe White wrote it, but Brooke Benton's Rainy Night in Georgia. And if you had requested some, maybe you will hear some of yours as well. What you don't hear tonight, you will tomorrow night. So I promise. Even if I have to hold my breath while I'm playing it. But some are really good. So we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Hoovering by my suitcase, trying to find a warm place to spend the night. Heavy rain falling, seems I hear your voice calling, it's all right. A rainy night in Georgia, a rainy night in Georgia. It seems like it's raining all over the world. I feel like it's raining all over the world. Neon signs are flashing, taxi cabs and buses passing through the night. A distant moaning of a train seems to play a sad refrain to the night. A rainy night in Georgia.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is Brooke Benton. That's what Ruth wanted to hear. Rainy Night in Georgia, 1969 on Cotillion. And that was recorded at Criteria, North Miami. Tony Joe White wrote it, and produced on this version was Arif Martin, and of course Cotillion, so there's the Atlantic tie-in. And that's the deal. So 888-876-5593. Oh, so who are the backing band? Cold Grits. Do not ask me why I know that. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. So, I see that Ruth apparently has another request. Oh, my. Well, so what is it this time?
Good evening. Happy New Year, Raleigh.
You too.
Thank you, and God bless your family. That's raining blessings all over the world for the Nobel Prize winner. That's why I requested it.
Right.
However, you could have did a Passover on that. I wouldn't have minded it at all.
Mm.
Well, I'm calling tonight for requests, but I'm wondering if I can get in a little topic regarding the holidays.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
Firstly, what's the request?
Okay, first request is, okay, hold on to your seatbelt. You did a something operatic, Penny something, and all I want to thank you for when you did the polkas. I never got to hear them, and I was disappointed. Mm. That surprised me. Polkas on doo-wop and R&B. You know, what's the world coming to? But I would have been glad to have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
So my request is for Celine Dion and Andre Bocelli.
Oh, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. You need to listen to public television or something. It's not going to happen on my show. Sorry.
Okay, next one would be, this one is, here, I got to forget it that fast. Still.
It can't be worse.
One has my name and the other
has
one,
my heart.
I'm true.
Yes, all right. Yeah.
One has my name and the other one, I'm true.
Yeah, right.
And then I'm wondering about, is there a Roy Orbison Christmas song?
Well, we're not going to play a Christmas song since that's not in the keeping with the spirit of the Raleigh James I Hate the Holiday Club. But there's a lot of good Roy Orbison records, that's for sure.
Okay. All right. That'll be a request at another time because I do like that artist.
Yeah.
He's fabulous. So back to, I was disappointed 3 years in a row. And I'd go, next year, for sure I'm going to be able to do this next year. Donations to Cookie Walks, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, and St. Raphael.
Mm.
So each year goes by, and I didn't get it accomplished. So this year, at the last minute, I put my own Cookie Walk together.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to give one of the ideas so other people can benefit from it, because there's nothing like sharing the blessings. The cookie that I'm not giving you, my next year's cookie.
Now, by the way, you have 45 seconds to tell me about this, because then I got the news.
Okay, the cookie was Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus, a large message cookie, and it had the words, the most wonderful time of the year, and two wine glasses with 2025. They come from the Libby, but they're a new name, same corporation. Two wine glasses escorted the large message cookie, and it was surrounded by roses, and it was absolutely gorgeous. Hershey kisses, and it was Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus, and I created a cookie exchange with large message cookies.
All right.
So, well, tomorrow night, we're going to do New Year's.
I can't
all
wait.
Right.
Talk to you later. All right. Right now, we're going to do the news. That's what we're going to do on WGN Radio.
I have nothing left to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. 30 years upon the stage, and I hear the people say, why won't he go away? I'm past the houses of the dead. They're calling me to join their group, but I stagger on instead. Dear God, sweet God, protect me from the truth.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm dead, but I don't know it. That'd be great for all those NDE podcasts I listen to fall asleep at night. Randy Newman, of course, 1999, and that was on DreamWorks, and that was actually an album cut from Bad Love. And it was Johnny D who wanted to hear that, and happy to oblige. So there you go, Johnny D.
Yes, thank you for that, Raleigh. Sure. Thank you for that. I was singing right along with it, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I never knew Randy Newman, but I knew his father because his father was my adopted mom's doctor. He was an internist in Los Angeles.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I kind of figured Randy Newman came from...
A lot of musical family, actually. His dad, though, was an MD, and a good one. Just a standard internist, no specialty, but he was terrific. And Randy was
how
right.
How old is Randy? Not to interrupt, but how old is Randy? No, gotta be close to your age.
Yeah. Yeah, he's born in 43.
43, okay.
In Los Angeles, and his parents, I think, they're from Connecticut. But anyway, lots of musical relatives. And of course, he started writing songs when he was like 16, 17 years old. And
he wrote some really great songs.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, his early stuff.
I Love
like,
L.A.
Oh, well, that's much, much later. But I mean, you know, in the 50s, he was writing things. And through his family, he knew Lenny Waronker, which, of course, got him into the Liberty Fold. John says, yeah. His cousin lived in my dormitory. All right. Well, see, there's our Randy Newman connection.
And he came to perform.
Yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah, and he came to perform. Was that a Goddard?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. So his cousin went to Goddard with John. All right.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Hey, listen, I've seen him in Pittsburgh twice. I went and seen him years ago.
Yeah.
One night my brother was driving. He fell asleep. We're coming back from Pittsburgh, eh? And me and my sister and my brother... And my younger brother fell asleep at the wheel and ran up against that guardrail on the turnpike or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sleeping in the back, and I hear, you know, banging and stuff. He scraped right along the guardrail thing there. You know.
Oh, geez.
Thank God we got home okay that night. But anyhow, I was listening to you over, and you know, as far as Happy New Year, I mean, with the...
Yeah, what else is there to say? Yes, absolutely.
You know, what could you say? The only thing good about it is Ohio State is one step closer to a national championship.
All right.
Because they beat the snot out of Oregon. But
right.
And they're on to Texas now. You know.
Well, very good.
And them Longhorns.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, So that's the only good thing of today that I, you know. And so also then I'll probably get heartburn because I just finished a salami sandwich with hot peppers on it that my nephew gave me.
It was probably very wonderful. And,
oh, it was excellent. I love to eat them, but then, you know.
Yeah, so when you feel sick later, remember how much you enjoyed eating it and say, it was worth it.
And then not only that, Becky, the lovely and talented Becky made, because on New Year's Eve, we normally have some kind of sausage, pork, you know, and Becky used to make these spare ribs and sauerkraut.
Ah,
right?
Very nice.
But she told me that the spare ribs were too expensive.
Oh, geez.
At the store.
Oh, geez.
So then she made a pork roast and sauerkraut in a crock pot.
Oh,
just
man.
Me and her were there, you know, yesterday, New Year's Day. But, so I ate a bunch of sauerkraut earlier and pork roast, and then I ate the salami sandwich without peppers on.
Yeah, you'll know this later. But as I say, just remind yourself how much you enjoyed it while it was going down.
Yeah. So anyhow, listen, you mentioned the Solutrean culture and the Magdalenians and the Epigravidian hunter-gatherer.
Yes.
Earlier.
Yes. Well, actually, we weren't specifically calling any of them out, but yes, we are talking about that region of the Alps, and it is interesting that you have an increased interest in foraging. They're looking for crystals, but they're finding all sorts of really interesting stuff.
I didn't know none about that.
Yeah.
Where are you reading that at?
Well, I mean, I've read it over the years. I'm sure there's plenty of online articles.
I don't even look for that.
That's the thing. They find civilization, and they find coins and all sorts of things.
Man, I'd like to find some of that stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, you have to go to the Alps, and it's cold.
Yeah, and I don't know if I could make the climb.
You're right, exactly.
Like, yeah, what's his name said on his song last night? She likes to go on top, but she can't make the climb.
Right. Yeah, an older, wiser kind of guy. Yeah.
Older, wiser kind. Anyhow, I'm sorry, Steve Bryant?
Yes, Steve Bryant. Yes, indeed.
I didn't know him because I never watched that Home Shopping Network thing. I never watched it, but didn't watch it.
Well, he was hilarious.
Yeah, I bet. Sounded like it because I listened to it.
And they wanted to fire him so badly, but he outsold everybody else, so they didn't. So it was a real love-hate thing. They just, they're like, yeah, well, we'll let you stay here, but we don't really like it.
Yeah. My brother used to say, If nothing sells, then, I don't know, something about supporting salesmen, you know. Because he was like a salesman.
Mm.
And my older brother, the golfer.
Mm.
But anyhow, so listen, are you hip? You ever, remember that song, What Is Hip?
Yes, you've had me play it a few times.
Yeah, and I like it. Mm. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know what is hip? Do you ever figure out what is hip?
You mean in the Tower of Power song?
Well, I guess, yeah, what they're asking, you know, because they say, what is hip? Okay, now listen, here's what this is just a sidetrack subject that I'm getting to because I thought I would want to. You know, when the Chinese came over here, and in the 1800s or whatever, and they were all addicted to opium. You know that?
Okay.
Yeah, they were addicted to opium. And so when they'd smoke the opium, they'd lay on their sides, like on their hip. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Yeah. And if you would ask somebody, are you hip? They were referring to, are you smoke? You know, are you hip? Are you hip? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Follow me? That's what hip meant. Are you hip?
Where did you get that?
I got it off of some show I watched on TV.
I'll bet you did.
Some scientist or some culture guy.
Yeah, there's I don't think there's any well-known origin of it, obviously, in America since the early 1900s. It was in the African American culture really at the turn of the last century, and then we're talking about the 1900s, not the 2000s. And then it dominated, in the jazz scene, it was came about as well. But in terms of what does it mean, there are half a dozen definitions. And so,
there's only one.
Well, yeah, the opium recreational, because you're taking the drug while lying on your side on the hip. Yeah, well, that's one. But there's others as well.
All right. Well, I don't want to talk about that no more. I want to talk about O.C. the Iceman, talking about, say about 5,500 years, 5,500 years, who was found in the Alps. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Put a search in there. O.C.
Is this the mummy?
Yeah, the mummy.
Okay, yeah. I've heard about that. This is like over 30 years ago.
Well, right, but they're finding out all kinds of new stuff about.
Yeah, he was between Italy and Austria.
Right.
Yeah, but he was a mummy. Yes, and
well, he died. Somebody murdered him 5,500 years ago.
Well, I thought it was like 3350 or something. Yes. So, but they found him and
BC.
Yeah, well, obviously, he obviously couldn't be AD. We wouldn't be talking about it.
Okay, go ahead.
He was from the copper. He was from the copper age.
Yeah, the copper age.
Mm-hmm.
And they found an axe. Now that would have been a heck of an artifact.
Mm.
A copper axe. And at that period of time, if you had one of those, then you were important.
Mm-hmm.
And they suspect he was like a village, not elder, but a leader. You know what I mean? O.C.
Well, I have no idea. I remember reading that he had a receding hairline and dark skin. I thought to myself, and they know this because? I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell you what, how they know. Because of the genetics. That's what I'm saying. They're able to do so many more things now since when they found him 30 years ago. And two hikers found him.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because when he died, he was immediately covered by a gigantic blizzard or something and frozen.
Well, that's what preserved him.
That's what preserved him, exactly. And they knew what kind of clothes he had on. They could tell now, what they're made out of. What is blight? A matter of fact, they traced it to some people over in Italy, right? That are his descendants. You know what I mean?
They found his descendants? Man,
yeah.
that's great. You just never know what'll show up when you subscribe to one of those DNA things, I guess. So they found descendants.
Yeah, they did. Because they could tell what type of blood type he was, and
they're probably asking for the copper ox, for the copper axe. Yeah,
I would. Yeah. I would ask.
I'm sure you would.
I don't know why I called, Raleigh, because you mentioned hunter gatherers. I'm thinking, what does she know about hunter gatherers?
I know enough that we have all these people who are roaming the Alps in search of crystals, and they're stumbling on all sorts of interesting artifacts that that those who care about all your hominins and all that are enthralled.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
I mean, you have to know. I mean, wait, you can't just sit around listening to, what you call obscure R&B all the time.
Sure you can. Sure you can. I'm living proof. All right. Good to talk to you, as always.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. So, 888-876-5593. We will get to Laura in Willowbrook here in moments. Obviously, it's a free-for-all. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. I'll have a couple other things to say, maybe. But nothing trumps whatever is going on with you. Now, if you listen to the show, I know you love radio, because otherwise you've drifted away long ago. And if you love radio, you probably know about the Sea Crane catalog. And if you don't, well, stop what you're doing now and go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. You will see a ton of products. And when it comes to radio, the thing that they all have in common is just superior reception, both AM and FM. Because Bob Crane started this company, he developed a radio with good reception at a time when that just wasn't available. He was as disgusted as some of us were of what was going on with radio. So I can do better. And oh, he did. But the interesting thing now are there are dozens of radios from which to choose, and all of them have unique features that are just terrific. Now, the CC Radio 2E is what I keep by my bedside. And as far as how good is the reception, well, take a weak radio or standard radio, just anything that's not a Sea Crane radio. Tune to a weak AM station, you know, wherever you are. Then take the CC Radio 2E, put it next to it, tune to the same station, and case closed. I don't have to say any more than that. It just will pick up anything that is over your head better than anything else you have, and it's going to sound good, really high quality sound. It's also got all the bells and whistles you want. It's got a digital readout, it's got some presets, it's got a clock, an alarm, a timer, a dial light, all those things, and it'll work on batteries, and they'll last a long time. I think it's something like 170 hours, really, really a long time. That's great. Or you can use, the AC cord that comes with it as well, and it is just a terrific radio. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Now, if you can't go online, we'll give them a call. They've got the world's best customer service, 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer any of your questions. You can order if you want by phone, or just ask for a free catalog, and they'll mail it to you, and then you can look at everything that way. But if you can go online, the neat thing about this catalog is there are not only great products, but just great information about radio listening all the way around. So if you have any interest in DXing and trying to pick up distant stations, this is a wonderful starting place. And if you're just looking for a really reliable, nice radio to set by your bedside, the CC Radio 2E might be it. You tell them Raleigh sent you. CCRadio.com on WGN Radio. I just couldn't resist this.
Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. The lady living over there across the street, she gets one piece and it lasts a whole week. Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. You know I'm the best Iceman in these blocks. I'll give you the right size piece if you just open your box. Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around. I'm telling you this, mama, and I'm telling you in front. If you get the right kind of piece, it lasts a solid month. Iceman, Iceman, got the coldest ice in town. Iceman, Iceman, the women love for me to come around.
I couldn't resist it. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Big Joe on the WOW label, Iceman, and Cherie the Oldie Sweetheart in New Orleans used to play that quite a bit on Winter, Where You At? Yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura is in Willowbrook. Hey, Laura.
Happy New Year to you and John and everybody.
You too.
Thank you. Since you were talking about vitamins and people in the hospital, I had to tell you and share a short story about my situation this year.
Okay.
The weirdest thing, okay? I just turned 65 this year, okay? And it's like, okay, everything's doing good.
Yeah.
And about in April of this year, I'm doing stuff at the kitchen, and I go to step back, all of a sudden I fall flat on my butt. I thought, that was weird. Okay, so of course I got up. Not easy doing it at my age. For some reason, I've never been good at getting up off the floor. So that was an adventure.
Okay.
And then that happened about a week later again. Okay. So then I'm driving one time, a couple weeks later, and I had a minor fender bender. Somebody hit me from the side. Nobody got hurt. The scratches on the car, but that was it. Next thing I know, I wake up, I'm in the hospital. I'm like, what the heck am I doing in the hospital? I says, I didn't get hurt or anything. It says, when you were giving information to the lady about, you know, insurance and all that, she says, you passed out. I said, I did? So I wind up in the hospital. I was in there for 3 days. vitamin deficiency. I was stuck on vitamin D. I got vitamin C. I can't remember all the vitamins they have me taking. And I thought, well, I mean, I know you should eat well in that, but I never really paid attention. Like, well, I should take vitamins. I mean, I really never took a vitamin in my life. So I didn't know this could really affect you like that. But, oh, my gosh, I couldn't believe it.
Oh, it absolutely can. And as far as supplementation, the more you can do through good eating is better than through supplementation. I won't mention any brands, but there are some vitamins that just ask any plumber, they see them whole in the toilet. They just don't dissolve in your body. I'm not saying don't supplement. I'm just saying that you really, if you're going to go that route, you really want to know what you're taking and how it's processed and all those kind of things. But if you can do it through food, that's your best option.
Yes. Well, thank goodness they were good and, you know, gave me lists of things that I should eat that should help.
Right.
And yeah. I mean, I take the supplements, but I'm more in this past year since then. It's like I eat so much better. And I didn't realize, I mean, I know they say, oh, we'll drink so many glasses of water a day, so many glasses. And I haven't really ever followed that. So they said that makes a difference too. It says you got to drink a lot more water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Dehydration literally can be deadly, and very few people consume enough water. You want to consume in ounces half your body weight in pounds.
Oh, okay.
So if you weigh 100 pounds, you want about 50 ounces of water a day.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, yeah, I just wanted to share that, and I thought I didn't realize so many people were in shape like me, and like I didn't realize that I should have been watching vitamins and eating a whole lot better.
Yeah, I just find it amazing that we're talking hundreds of thousands of people hospitalized annually because they eat badly. You know, that's...
Yes, yes.
I tell you what. Yeah, yes. And let's face it, when they talk about, well, nobody can afford to eat well, really that's not the big thing. The stuff that's horrible for us tastes the best.
That's true. That's
I mean, let's face it.
You are so right.
Yeah, absolutely. Give me a pizza any day of the week. All right.
You got that. Yeah. Well, thanks for all your knowledge, and Happy New Year again to you and John and everybody.
Talk to you soon. Thanks. Glad you're feeling better.
All right. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Good deal. Yeah, this is scary, scary stuff, especially when you say, I woke up in the hospital. Yeah, fortunately, that has never happened to me, but I can only imagine the horror of, where am I and what am I doing here? Yeah, not good. So the more you can do to eat like an adult, something I've never been particularly good at, the better off you'll be. But literally, when I saw that at the beginning of the show, I had no idea that we were looking at hundreds of thousands of hospitalizations. You know that. Yeah, and of course, the timber of the article was pretty much that food is too expensive and people can't afford. No, I'm telling you, no. Yes, food is expensive. And the good stuff, yeah, it's really expensive. I agree that. But I still say the reason we're not eating good is because the bad stuff tastes so much better. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll talk to Bruce and Elwood and you too next hour here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it was Jim and Wisconsin who had said, yeah, play the Allman Brothers, Ramblin' Man, Jimmy Carter like them, and everybody else did 1973 for Ramblin' Man on Capricorn. But when Jimmy Carter was just in the state Senate in the 60s, he was there till 67. Last year he was there. The Allman Brothers weren't yet the Allman Brothers; they were Hourglass, and they put out a very interesting album, and we'll play a cut from that coming up because I think it's ignored repeatedly in any of their anthologies, and that's exactly what they were doing when Carter was representing them in the state. Bruce and Elwood, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing okay. I remember I had all them stomach surgeries in the last 15 years. Well, I have a hernia that's left over. And they don't want to do anything. But
interesting. Now, it wasn't caused by the surgeries, was it?
Oh yeah, it was probably caused by the second. I've had five surgeries.
Oh God.
I had this one probably around the third one, but it got worse. I had the bowel resection last year in October, and it popped out. So I was having trouble breathing, and probably more of an anxiety attack than anything else.
Sure.
So the other night. It was Friday night. I decided I'm going to go to the hospital, get this all checked out because I'm breathing funny, getting. So anyway, I called an ambulance. Figure, oh, that'll be a good shot in, you know.
Right.
Well, yeah. So I get to the hospital and they wheel me in the ER, and I thought, oh boy, they're going to give me a room. And they said, oh no, you're going in a wheelchair.
Oh no.
So they pushed me out into the triage area.
Oh no. Where you sat for hours.
All over. Well, when you go up there, you sit there, and the sign right there where the girl's checking you in says estimated time, 10 hours.
Oh! 10 hours?
10 hours.
What city is this?
Joliet, Illinois.
Joliet, Illinois. 10 hours in the emergency room is the estimated time.
Yeah, and that's two. Both the other one's just as long.
I don't doubt it.
Because there was people coming in and later on they're asking, is there anywhere else we could go? And she said, well, Quick Care will open at 6. And, you know. Well,
oh
I finally got in after about 4 hours.
Oh.
Almost 5 hours I got into a room.
Record time.
Yeah. But they get you because what they do is they check you in. Then they, if you need any pain medication or like something for nausea and stuff, then they do an EKG and blood test. Well, now they got you because you can't leave. If you leave, it's against medical advice.
Well, yeah, but you still can't. No, you still can. You just have to sign that piece of paper. Been there, done that. Yeah, basically, after about 4 or 5 hours, if nothing's going on and you want to leave, yes, you just sign that piece of paper. It's against medical advice. I'd like to know what medicine man's advice that was because you never got to see one.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then finally I got in a room at 5 hours. They started an IV, and I had to have a CAT scan of everything. And I had chest x-rays, blood tests, EKGs, CAT scan. And it said, well, it's pretty much working. You just got to live with it.
What? Live with shortness of breath that you think you're going to die? No, that's not an answer.
No, with the hernia. The shortness of breath cleared up after I got there and calmed down.
Okay, all right. All right.
They called my surgeon that morning. It was like Saturday morning, and talked to her about the results of the CAT scan. She said, I told you last year I don't want to do this unless I absolutely have to, so.
Unbelievable. And I can understand
but
that because obviously if she's saying she doesn't want to do it, she thinks there's a possibility of some major complications.
That's what the ER doctor told me.
Yeah.
He's trying to explain to me at 5 in the morning. I've been there since 6 that night, so I'm really not listening to you.
Right, exactly.
Said,
but no, what a horrible place to be. Did he tell you what he thought the complications might be?
Just anxiety, they think.
Okay.
My oxygen level was at 90-something. Mm-hmm. My chest is clear. I'm breathing. My bloods look good.
Okay.
My EKGs were good. Everything's good.
Now, does the hernia cause you any pain?
No, it's just a pain in the butt.
It
sticks out in the front, and it's, you know.
Yeah.
And she just said, because he said, they're not going to do anything. And I said, well, could just put me in here. He said, well, let me call her this morning, and I'll talk to her. And he called her, and I know he called her because the nurse, I kind of had a and actually went to the nurse because I'd been there so long. And he said, I heard him talking to the surgeon, and she just doesn't want to do anything. She doesn't have to.
Right.
There's just too much scar. I got scar tissue and mesh and everything in there. And
oh, man.
She said, unless it gets totally blocked off or pinched off, I'm not doing anything because you're going to end up with an ostomy bag for the rest of your life.
Oh, God.
So it's just something I have to live with. But I just thought you're talking about they wheel you up and it's estimated 10 hours. And when I came out, which I went in at 6 o'clock Friday night. I got out about 6 o'clock Saturday morning. I had my nephew come and get me. And I asked the nurse, I said, it was real quiet in the ER. I said, if I came in this morning, would I get right in? And he said, no, every room is full. The people are just sleeping. And I went outside to get picked up, and the waiting room was almost as full as it was at 6 o'clock at night at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Something's
and they
wrong.
Still had a sign up that said 10-hour wait.
Oh, God. Oh, geez.
At 6 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's like.
Oh, man. Yeah, you want to stay away as much as possible in that situation. Jeez.
It's just, yeah, I was worried, when I had the trouble with the breathing. I smoked for 50 years and everything, but they said your lungs are clear, you're oxygenating good, everything is good.
Good.
So we just can't do anything with it unless we have to.
Right. Right, because you just don't know what the side effects would be, and I can understand that. You don't want to go from bad to much worse.
Exactly, and it's hard to get that in your head in the middle of the night, though, when you're laying there. Because the emergency room doctor, obviously he's a young doctor, and he says, well, hernia's elective surgery. And I said, okay, I'd like to do it today.
Right, right, exactly.
And he says, no, you've had 5 surgeries on your stomach. It's not anything we can just do. It's going to have to be planned out and... The risk swayed.
Yeah. Well, I assume you could always get other opinions from other specialists, but it's probably a solid idea to say, hey, we're not going to go from bad to a lot worse.
Well, the guy that did the first 4 surgeries, he passed away. And the girl that did the last one last year, I would trust her more than I would any surgeon. I could pick one out of the phone book, sure. Be like,
no,
Dr. Feelgood, right. We'll do it.
Right? Yeah. Right. Exactly. No. Well, as long as you're not in pain.
She did the bowel resection last year. She took a foot of bowel out, and she even said then, I can't really do anything with this hernia unless I absolutely have to.
Right. Well,
it's just hard to hear that in this day and age. But
yeah. Well, right. Exactly. We don't like to think that there isn't some type of a fix. But I trust her judgment on it. And as long as you're not in pain, this would be different if you were really, really hurting. Then you say, hey, maybe it's worth a gamble. But it doesn't seem like that would be the upside for this.
And I've had the low blood iron too. I went in there about 4 years ago. I went in there. I had some bleeding and. My CBC was down to 5.
Ooh.
And they gave me 5 pints of blood.
Yeah.
That night. So, but I'm taking supplements now and stuff. I eat like crap, but.
Well, try to eat a little better. Not completely. I'm not telling you to completely mend your wanton ways, but maybe once a week or so, just have really nutritious food.
Yeah.
I know, but see, I'm not asking you to do it all the time. Just on occasion.
Yeah.
Oh, believe me, I understand. Okay. Yeah, but, and there's no way. I'm not telling you to do it all the time because there's no way you will. No, there's no way that most of us would. But if you kind of make a deal with yourself that, a period of time, maybe it's once a week or whatever, you will just really behave and, go from there. Now, of course, if it gets...
I just thought you did. Oh.
What, if it gets to the point where you're really hurting, you'll be more willing to eat a little better because it'll be too painful not to.
I just thought you'd be interested in that weight time.
Oh,
it's unbelievable.
I'm stunned. And I don't know why I should be. I guess I've certainly heard of those experiences just virtually everywhere in the country, but I've never heard about it being in a sign. Wait time, 10 hours. No.
Yeah,
that's...
And when I walked out that morning, there was about 3/4 of the amount of people that were there at 6 o'clock at night. There was that many there in the morning. And there's some sick people. I mean, they're curled up on couches and everywhere else. It's set up where they come out and they're calling people's names, and the nurse comes out and does vitals again because they've been sitting there so long. They want to make sure that the vitals have stayed up.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'll be like the bears, just crawl behind the tree and die.
And they did that blood test on me that shows if you had a heart attack.
Yeah.
And then about three or four hours later, they came out and got me again and tested again.
Why, they thought you had a heart attack while you were waiting?
Well, no, to see if some enzyme, there's some enzyme they're looking for.
Yeah.
And they were looking to make sure it didn't go up while I was, not that I had a heart attack, but just to check it again.
Right, right.
You sit there so long, they come out and get you and, and say, okay, you're going to go get the CKG. And then you think, oh boy, here we go. And then it's like you go back there and then, okay, back out in the room.
No, just no. All right, well, next time I'd say, unless you're absolutely sure there's a huge problem, stay home.
I am. I'm frustrated with this thing.
Of course you are.
There's nothing I can do.
Exactly. Well, again, this is where you spend time being grateful, saying to yourself, think about how much worse it could be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and count your blessings, because a lot of people aren't that lucky. So
I'm in no pain at all.
Which is a blessing right there. Not that many people can actually make that statement.
You know, and even the guy that when he was reading the CAT scan, he said there's no waste or anything in there. He said it's going right on through.
Yeah.
It's not blocked or anything at all.
Good.
And there's no restriction in the blood supply to the intestine and that. And he said she just doesn't want to go back in there unless she has to.
Well, and she's told you why. So I'd accept that.
That's all I can do right
exactly.
now. That's all I can do.
Exactly. But try to eat better. Just if it's not going to be once a week, every 10 days. But whatever you're going to do, at least plan some time for nutrition.
Yeah.
That includes water, by the way. I know you don't want to drink the water, fish swim in it, and all that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, drink the water.
Well, at least I drink root beer now.
No. Water. Again, not every day. I don't expect you to do this every day, but every now and then, get yourself hydrated. Root beer will not hydrate you.
I know. That's what my nephew tells me.
Yeah, he's right. At least it's not caffeinated.
No, that's what I mean. I went from Pepsi to root beer, so I'm not drinking caffeinated stuff.
Yeah,
anymore.
Well, even so, water would be good. You just every now and then, try it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you won't get to the point where you're feeling bad. I know you'll behave if you're feeling bad, but hopefully that won't happen.
I'm feeling okay. I just kind of had a panic attack that night. Like I said, when you start to get short of breath, but I got in the ambulance and you know, my oxygen level was like 98.
Oh, so it's fine. Well, do you have...
It's fine.
You should have one of those little oximeters that you can put on your finger and measure it yourself.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, definitely have
that. Blood pressure thing.
Absolutely,
too.
A blood pressure monitor, a glucometer. I'm not saying you have to do your blood sugar every day, but you know, every few weeks or whatever, you want to see if you're okay.
I was happy about that. They checked that too. My blood sugar was 117.
Well, that's not great, but it's not awful.
Well, no, it's not bad.
No, you want it to be under 100.
Not bad.
You want it to be under 100.
I don't think I've ever been under 100.
And of course, the reality is when you're doing the blood work, you don't care as much about the glucose test as you do the A1C. You want to see what it's been over a three-month period. Because, of course, you know, when you just take the glucose, that's a moment in time subject to change 20 minutes later. So, but the A1C will tell the story. And as long as you're below 5.6, you're fine. So I hear silence there. We're not below 5.6, are we? But you know.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they checked that this time. I'm sure they did, but they were taking so much blood from me.
When they do the blood tests, always ask for copies and keep a little file. You don't have to print them out if you don't want. Just keep a little file on whatever device you have, so you've got all your medical records.
Just figure if I'm alive, I'm okay.
Well, you know, there's a certain amount of truth to that. But we want to keep you out of pain at the same time. That's the goal here.
Yeah, no, I know. The thing is, I just don't have a lot of stamina, and I got this big thing hanging over my belt, and it's just...
Yeah, well, that...
What got worse is...
Yeah?
I gained so much weight after I quit smoking.
Oh, sure. And you're probably not exercising very much.
No.
And that would be good, too.
No, because... Yeah, well, my legs hurt, and I don't have a lot of wind, you know.
Well, you build it up slowly. I mean, you don't get on the treadmill and say, I'll work out for 90 minutes. I mean, that's insane. You know, build it up slowly. See if you can go 10 minutes, which would be a noble chore there. And then build it up. You know, build up the speed a little bit, build up the incline a little bit. But, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And find something you like doing while you're treading, if you're going to tread. Because if you just stand there and tread, nobody likes to do that. So, you know. Yeah. Something to read, or if you're not good reading on a treadmill, a lot of people aren't, you know, something to watch, just so your mind's off it. You know, the more you can do, just little things, it'll make a difference.
Yeah, I know. It's.
No, I know. Believe me.
Right, I just thought you'd be interested in a 10-hour wait.
Oh, I am. I'm just, well, this confirms it. You know, the only way I'm going to the hospital is if I passed out and I have no choice in the matter because I'm being drugged against my will. I do not voluntarily go to hospitals.
Well, see, there was people coming in, like I said, and they were actually checking wait times. There's one other hospital in that town, and there's, you know, as you get a little bit towards Chicago, there's quite a few more, and they were all like that Friday night.
Yeah. Well, now, I'm sure, by the way, in those situations, as you well know, if somebody comes in and they're in cardiac arrest, they don't make them wait 10 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're prioritizing everything, and that's why they're checking your levels every few hours or whatever to make sure that you didn't go up on the priority list. So it's good news, bad news. The good news is, gee, you're not that sick comparatively. The bad news is you're going to wait forever. But they do prioritize.
They brought a guy in the room next to me while I was laying there, and as he went by, I could see what the, you know, the screen was back a little bit.
Yeah.
Those five cops holding him down.
Well, that's an interesting situation. Yeah.
He got right in.
Oh, I'll bet he did. Yeah, chained to the bed. But I mean, if somebody comes in and they're having a stroke or something, I mean, they're going to drop what they're doing and attend to that person.
Oh, yeah. No. I understand it. I was an EMT for 15 years.
So, you know, it's the way it is. So you're having a little anxiety attack. They're having no sympathy.
It was never this bad when I did this years ago. If you brought a person in with an ambulance and they had shortness of breath, they got them a room.
Well, I know. This is so true, and I don't think there's an easy answer to that, but just everything, and that's, again, for a show that is bigger than mine. But, the entire system, it's not just healthcare, whatever, but it's all going to hell in a handbasket. That's why we ignore it at night, because I can't solve it.
Well, you know what? Just real quick, what part of the reason was why the wait was so long? The ER rooms were full because the hospital is full.
Uh-huh.
And there was nowhere for the people in the, that were getting released that were going to get admitted to the hospital. There was nowhere to go to admit them to clear out the emergency room.
That's a fairly known scenario. And sometimes it's not that the hospital is full. It's that the hospital is full in terms of the staff there to care for people.
That could be too.
You know, in some cases, yes, there are empty rooms, but there's no staff, so they can't do it. It's like going to restaurants, and you know, you're waiting in line forever, and next thing you know is you know, half of it's closed off. Well, yeah, but they don't have wait staff. So
yeah.
All right. Well, we didn't solve the problems of the world, but you're not in pain, so all's good. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. So 888-876-5593 WGN Radio.
Girl, I know there's no future in. Make up your mind, if it takes all
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Hourglass. They turned out to be the Allman Brothers later, but in 1967 in Los Angeles on Liberty, they did Out of the Night. It's from the album Hourglass. All right, and so there. Now, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll get to Carl and to Chuck and to Gwen, but I said before at the top of the hour about these houses. 12 houses, less than 2 days, under $300,000. Now, what it is, actually, it's an amazing story of giving and kindness, and it was the Pennsylvania Amish. They were aware of what was going on in western North Carolina and the dire straits that many people were in. And so they got together, and a group of them went to western North Carolina and in under 2 days constructed 12 houses. The only thing that wasn't complete was electric, but the houses themselves were completed, only needed the finishing touches and electric, obviously. The Amish also brought and left behind 20 propane tanks, a lot of tools, 5 pallets of fire department supplies for local rescue workers, and all of it, like I said, just about under $300,000, 100% paid by the Amish. And what I thought was interesting about this, and of course it's a wonderful feel-good story, but I don't care what, if they can build 12 houses in 2 days and do it for under $300,000, something is very wrong here in terms of what you see in prices today. And I realize these are not McMansions or mansions of any kind as far as that goes, and they're not necessarily huge houses, but they're absolutely livable and brand new. And it seems that we have such a problem with housing that maybe we should just turn it over to the Amish. So anyway, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We have Gwen in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening. Happy New Year, Raleigh. Thank you. In regards to the other caller, while you guys were talking about emergency rooms, I came in the middle of it. I don't know if you're aware, but we have immediate care centers all over the place in Chicago, and you don't have to go there. It's kind of like a replacement for walking into an emergency room at a hospital. So you sign up, they have all the same stuff, and it doesn't, you don't end up waiting hours to be seen.
That can be a very good thing, providing you have a problem that's treatable there. I know at one point, John had been to a podiatrist who noticed something about irregular heartbeats and all this, and so he said, you can go to intermediate care. So we did, and the guy there damn near passed out. You get to a hospital right now. And so, what was interesting about that is there was nothing critically wrong with him. The guy just wasn't knowledgeable enough. It was a fairly new guy. He was a PA. He probably graduated from school last week or whatever. But, I mean, the concern on this guy's face made you say, oh, my God, I won't make it to the hospital. So it depends what's wrong. But you're right. For a lot of things, that can be just a godsend.
You don't mind me asking if this was like the like the resident or whoever comes in to see past the tech, in other words, the higher up.
Yeah, the highest at that location, which many of them are not staffed by MDs.
Oh, I know. There's like nurse practitioners.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And not that that's necessarily bad, but some of them just don't have the experience to handle certain problems. So it depends how fairly routine your condition is, whether that's a great idea or not.
I agree with you. And what they are also equipped to, if they feel, they also can call an ambulance for you from there. So
Absolutely. Now, the other thing, of course, is this was late at night when he went. A lot of them are not 24/7. Some are, but most aren't. You're right. It's a good relief valve, and for many things, probably should be a first choice before you take yourself to the hospital.
Well, it's a lot cheaper too. I found myself using them, and then I'm looking at the bills. I'm like, oh my God, it's $2,000 when you walk into an emergency room, and then when you versus immediate care, it's like not even $250. But that's still pricey for someone that doesn't have.
Oh, sure, sure.
Insurance.
You know, again, it depends the severity of the problem, and I know what it's right. like, especially late at night if you're alone and you're scared and you think, oh my God, you know, and you're thinking the worst is going to happen. But in many cases, that's not what's going on at all, thankfully.
And that you have some support too, yeah, someone yeah. that's with you.
Yeah.
Well, Riley.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you guys again.
Likewise. Call me again. All I appreciate right. it. Okay.
Thank you, Riley. Right. So, okay, good night.
Good deal. So yeah, the urgent care center sometimes can be a great relief valve, but you'll never get, and that was one of the cases, by the way, where, you know, they told us, you have to go to the hospital right now. We did, and I had to not do a show, and we sat there, and by about 2:30 in the morning, I said to John, we're out of here. And he had to sign that it was against, you know, medical advice. I'm like, what advice? We haven't seen anybody who knows anything about medicine, yeah, other than the receptionist here at the front desk. So, yeah, we signed and, you know, went to the doctor the next day who said, no, it's not that urgent. Though you never know. All right, so let's see. What are we doing here? I believe that Carl in Chicago is next. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Carl. Are you with me, Carl? We have lost Carl. Well, hopefully not literally. Hopefully he just got tired of waiting. Yes, and we're not even like the hospital emergency room. So, I mean, comparatively, you're getting in here quick. Gail in Rockford, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley.
How are you?
I had good, and you?
Okay, can't complain. What's up?
Well, listening to your caller before the last one, I really was under the impression that Rockford hospitals were the worst. I had to go to the immediate care because I had a problem breathing. I have congestive heart failure, COPD, asthma. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And I go there. And this is an APRN. She was the doctor on duty. And I have two x-rays done. And she goes, oh, I think you have pneumonia. Need to go immediately to the hospital. And she goes, we're calling you an ambulance. And I'm like, no, I will go to the hospital, but I have to take care of business. So, okay, I drove home, got somebody to take care of my cat, got some stuff in a bag so that I could take it with me, go to the emergency room. I waited 8 hours.
Okay. Yeah.
In the lobby.
Yeah.
Before I was put into an examining room. And then 2 hours in the examining room. Now, they did the triage.
Right.
And just like the gentleman said, they checked my heart. They did the EKG and all that good stuff. They did more x-rays. And then she said, I'll be back 2 hours from now to check your heart again to make sure your heart isn't throwing off any chemicals and you're not having a heart attack. Okay, fine, whatever. And this is how the whole thing goes. I'm sitting in the room for 2 more hours, and then an APRN comes in and says, I don't know why you're in here. I can't find anything wrong anywhere. I said, I went to the emergency care. She said she saw fluid in the bottom lobe of my lung. Nope. I said, I have wasted all of this time out of my life for nothing?
Yes.
And she goes, well, obviously you're having a problem breathing, so it's probably your COPD or asthma. So we're going to give you steroids, but we did find a UTI in your urine. I said, Woo! Thank you. I wasted all of this time to find a UTI. I am so thrilled and honored that you found something. She looked at me and she goes, sarcasm doesn't fit you. And I said, well, it felt fine on me.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, I'm out of here. And I got out of the gown and I was gone. I couldn't believe I wasted my life for that. Now, I do have to admit the prednisone that she gave me for the asthma took care of it. 3 days later, I was capable of breathing.
Sure.
And it was awesome. But it was like, oh, my goodness, I wasted this whole time in my life. I can't believe this.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are hours you'll never get back.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I know.
Listening to him 10 hours, and I really thought, oh, my goodness, Joliet's as bad as Rockford.
You know, I have not found a place where I don't hear these stories, literally everywhere. It's and a lot of it is not a case that there's no room in the hospital. It's just there's not enough staff. And this is critical. And I don't know that there's any easy explanation or any solution. You know, again, it's way above my pay grade. But it's a very common problem.
I believe that my sister was a paraplegic.
Oof.
And her husband was her caregiver.
Oof.
And he died.
Oh,
and
dear.
So her daughter moved her in with her. But her daughter really was trying to find a place where she could put her
right.
to have 24-hour care.
Right.
And there were several places that had the equipment that she needed to get her around. And they said they'd put her on a waiting list. And when they finally had beds and she called them, they said to her, well, we do have the beds, but we don't have enough employees to take care of her.
Right. And thank God they were honest.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, it's not only at hospitals. It's all through the healthcare system.
Well, and it's not only the healthcare system. See, that's what's so interesting. And again, that's for a show that's not this one. But we are at a real tipping point in terms of when I talk about the economy. I don't necessarily mean just dollars, but you know, the picture of full employment, the level of debt that people are in, and not only people but entities. It's not a happy thing. And like I say, I don't have the answer, but something's got to give.
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture.
No, and I don't think any of the solutions that we know are the solutions that will work. It's got to be some out of the box thinking, because we are at a point where we've never been in society.
Yeah,
and I remember back 1970 when the Bell telephone company talked about they had over 1 million operators. And, you know, if you needed a job, you could always go to the steno pool or whatever. All of these things, these job categories don't exist, period. And we can go on and on between automation and, you know, now the coming of AI and everything else. It requires less worker bees. So I don't have the solution, because here we are saying there's no workers. Well, there's also no jobs. So I don't get it.
But more than that, our population has changed.
Of course it has.
I ran a McDonald's in the 70s and 80s. I worked there in McDonald's for 18 years.
Wow.
And I had, this was in Burbank, and I literally had kids from the entire block. And families had 4, 5, 6 kids. You got to know the parents got to know you. I mean, you had each one of their kids as they became old enough, and then they went off to college. And when they started saying that people were now having 2.5 children.
Yeah.
That sounded strange to me. But that's what they were saying was what was the census. And it's like, okay, what are we going to do in 10 years when I need to hire 5 people because they've gone to college, when there's no families on the block because all of these kids have grown up and there's nobody moving in with kids that are growing up? And so the whole dynamic in families changed, which I think also affected why companies and business changed. I mean, it's a teeter-totter.
Yeah, it never exists in a vacuum. It's all those factors and so very many more. And also what you're discussing when you were at that McDonald's, we weren't expecting people to live on that salary. It was a job for a kid or for maybe someone returning to the workforce. It was not a thing where you say that this is your livable wage. So a lot of things have changed. And again, this is for somebody who really delves into this, which isn't this show. But yeah, it's no one thing.
No, it's not.
Yep. And here we are. But hey, it's a new year. We'll see what happens.
All right.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Have a wonderful new year.
You too. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm just a bystander. I don't know. But I do know that that anybody who thinks that these are simple answers, no, this is a societal change that we're going through all the way around, and it really started with the ramp up to digital, and so you're talking about from the Industrial Revolution, because you know before that society had been pretty static for centuries and centuries, and now in the last 250 years or so, and where we are right now, this is a paradigm shift. And somebody will have the answer, and I'll be probably long gone before they do. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We'll talk about something fun, or at least play one of your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
I am the magnificent. I'm back with the shaker of a soul, boss, most thundering, storming, sound of soul. I am W-O-O-O, and I'm still here.
Got a million more just like it. That actually was a request. Damon Ansel Collins and Double Barrel Robin Palatine wanted to hear that, and now he has. We got another hour, hopefully, with you, with Chuck and Rockford, and more of your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
You won't believe the story, five lives of one.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. They are the Alley Cats. Yes, on the Phyllis label. It was a Phil Spector production in 1962. Puddin' Tane, and Sergeant Pappy wanted to hear that. And now he has. All right, 888-876-5593. We'll get to Chuck in Rockford here in a moment, but a couple of things that crossed my mind, always a danger. I was mentioning that it's legendary that flight attendants will tell you they just do not eat airline food. They should include the holiday festivities as well, because apparently at Denver International Airport, about 24 cases of food poisoning from the United Airlines holiday party were had. United's monitoring the situation, coordinating with health authorities, and isn't this generous of them? They are allowing employees who they sickened to not have to use a doctor's note within 48 hours. Now, normally, if an employee around holiday time needs time off because they're sick, the airline demands that they have a doctor's note within 48 hours. Now, mind you, how do you find a doctor within 48 hours? I mean, you may be waiting 48 hours, but regardless of that, they're being big about it and say, just tell your supervisor that you were poisoned at the holiday party. Yeah, there's a reputation for you. They're investigating, obviously, and about 200 employees have been reportedly sick, but only 24 cases are confirmed. All right, over 200. Yeah, some people just go home and say, I'll sleep it off. So no word on what was causing the guest gastrointestinal symptoms, but enough of them that it was hard to deny that there was a problem. So I'm telling you, don't eat the food. All right, so the other thing that I looked at that was one of those things where, yeah, my oh my God moment. Here's a guy who spent $80,000 on surgery to grow 7 inches. No, quit with the jokes. I'm talking about his height. And he was 27 years old, and he was 5'5". Now, you see, if this guy was 4'10", I would almost say, I get it, you know, 5'5". All right, he wanted to be a little bit taller. Well, this is a tremendously invasive and not without complications surgery. And they basically slice your legs in two and put a metal bar in there that they can then rotate and make longer over time. And so anyway, $80,000 later and 2 years later, he now is 7 inches taller than 5'5". And he's pleased. He thinks he's spent wisely. He is happy with the results and just oozing confidence. I don't know. 5'5" sounded fine to me, and he could keep his $80,000. But what do I know? Chuck in Rockford, welcome to WGN Radio. Are you there, Chuck? Well, Chuck might have fallen asleep. That happens sometimes. All right. Well, if he wakes up, then we'll be happy to hear from him, and happy to hear from you as well. 888-876-5593-888-Raleigh. So a number of stories. James, of course, regales me with far too many stories. But what's interesting is how many of them, and I'm skipping over most of them, are just horrendous stories. You know what we're hearing about in New Orleans on the news as far as that goes. And here we've got a Georgia judge. That's right. It's his final day in office. So how does he celebrate? He shoots himself, committing suicide in his own courtroom. 74 years old, found dead yesterday, his last day on the bench. He lost bid for re-election. And so he was found inside the Effingham County State Courthouse at 10 a.m. They think he died Monday night, though. But as far as that goes, GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, is looking into it. And he was appointed to the state court in 2022. So it's not like he had been a judge for the last 60 years or anything like that. He recently attempted to resign, but was denied by the Georgia governor. And apparently, I'm not sure why, but he also did not get another bid for re-election. Now, he was also facing a lawsuit from court employees, well, one of them anyway. Lisa claimed she was wrongfully terminated from her position. She claimed that the judge fired her in order to bring his own staff in when he took office. Well, it's hard to know. He was a former district attorney and had worked as a special agent in Georgia Alcohol and Tobacco Tax Unit, and so that was the deal. But needless to say, the courtroom was closed. But then again, you know, it's Christmas, basically, or New Year's Eve in this case. So it was going to be closed today anyway. But yeah, kill yourself in your own courtroom. And from all those around him, of course, as is often a familiar tale, no one saw it coming. All right, so rest in peace. Chuck has called back. He has awakened from the dead, or from something anyway.
Yeah,
so hello.
You know,
yeah.
I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So then the phone hung up. Of course, I called right back. But anyhow, I said that we could have done that last call you had to Rockford on
conference call. You could share stories.
Conference call.
You could share stories. Okay.
Yeah, but anyhow, this guy with the hernia thing.
Yeah.
I've got the same thing with the mesh deal.
Uh-huh.
And there's money out there for that, and I keep missing the when they come on, you know, with their 800 number and that. I don't get it down. But apparently, if he can certify that, I don't even think he has to have the operation.
Well, here's the deal, though. There have been over 5 surgeries involved in this, so it wouldn't be the mesh alone. One of the reasons people are denied that coverage is if they can show any reason that it wasn't the mesh itself. And from what he's saying, it was not the mesh itself. But yes, there are a number of things, both for hernia and for women as well, with female surgery, where they do have some pretty big payouts.
It probably wouldn't hurt for him to check it out, though, because it sounds like they can't find the people to give that money to.
Oh, they can, believe me. It's not that. Remember, the lawyers who bring the case are getting a big piece of it, so they can find it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, sometimes
obviously,
you're getting more.
So if you've had surgery to repair a hernia after January 1st, 2006, you might qualify. And there's always, I know Sokolov is one of the big ones in terms of the advertisements and all that, but there were over 25,000 lawsuits as of basically this week, and that's from 2006 through 2024, and this is, you know, across the country. The average settlement, it can, but depending on what it is, be over $1 million, but on average it's between $65,000 and $80,000. But you have to qualify for it, and again, if you've got other problems that could have added to the complications, you know, you're not going to get them.
Oh, is that the hernia thing? Or?
Yes, hernia or vaginal. It has to do also, you know, with.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's
well,
the whole basis of this is that the manufacturer is alleged to have known of the defective product or the risk, but didn't warn the patient.
Oh.
But you see, again, if you've got other things complicating that, then you're not going to be able to show that it was the mesh.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess they would tell me it's old age, but...
Well, no, that wouldn't fly. But if you had, you know, if you had 5 surgeries in the same area, that might be a problem, and that's what's going on. And that's what was happening here.
Well, that's the only surgery I've had in that area.
Yeah.
But, I've had 3 hernias, a right and a left groin hernia and a navel hernia.
Yeah.
And the doctor that did the one on the navel, he was so proud of herself that she'd saved my belly button.
Yeah.
Because I guess they don't always do that.
That's right. Know, they don't always do that. It depends what's going on. They can't always do that.
Yeah. And they had one of these... sci-fi stories, you know, where you could tell an alien because they didn't have a navel. and you were allowed to kill him on the spot.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, I don't think that's going on here stateside. I don't think too many people have to worry about that. But if you are having problems, particularly unrelenting pain and things like that, and it can be shown that the culprit, you know, can clearly be shown the culprit probably would be the mesh, then, yeah, there's money.
Yeah, well, I haven't been able to get the number to call, but I'll try that one that you're talking about.
Yeah, Sokolov.
See if there's anything for me.
Yeah, I have no idea, but that's the way it is. And so there's four different mesh companies that are being sued involved in this defective design and inadequate testing or
one of them
all that. So now currently with statute of limitations and all that, you had to have the surgery to repair a hernia on or after January 1st, 2013. And you had to suffer. Uh-huh. I had to suffer a medical complication that required revision surgery.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you have both of those, then they'll talk to you.
Yeah. Actually, right now, I just want to stay away from that kind of stuff, even if I do need it, you know.
Well, if you didn't do the revision, then they won't take it, you know, as far as what they're looking for. Yeah, so...
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Well, you know, I called you once before, and I meant to mention they're going to be making some, Coke with sugar.
Mexican Coke has sugar.
Well, I know that.
That's sold for Americans. Now, by the way, the Mexican Coke in Mexico does not, but the specialty bottlers in Juarez and Tijuana, they make it with sugar for Americans.
Well, this Coke is supposed to be kosher.
Well, absolutely. And, I mean, that comes up every year around the holidays that they'll have kosher
right.
Coke.
They have a yellow cap on it,
uh-huh.
as the way you can tell it.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I'd get some of it, but I don't drink any pop anymore. Did you ever get to using a Pedialyte or anything like that for hydration?
No. No.
I'll
tell you
well.
A couple things. Firstly, I drink sufficient water, and that's the number one key. You have to drink a lot of water. The other thing is that I take electrolytes, and so I don't usually fool around with that balance. Oh yeah.
As long as you get the right stuff, of course, I guess, you know.
Oh, yeah, well,
in the right proportions.
Yeah, yeah, and they are very minimal doses, obviously. That's the way electrolytes work. But sure. So, but no, as far as water, yeah, you betcha.
Oh, well, I'm finding out a lot of things, you know, just even enough exercise has a lot to do with the pills won't cure anything. It's your blood that does, you know. And if your blood doesn't do it for you, why you're out of luck. And you were talking about the pills that go through. I found that I've had that, you know, where I was suspecting that there was a problem with a pill, and I found that it helps if you're not sure of it. Just you know, if it's just a press pill, is to crack it, you know, before you swallow it, and it will dissolve better in your system.
But whether your system will in fact utilize the contents, that's the issue.
There's a lot of things,
calcium notoriously, your body's really not using most of that in most configurations. But yeah, if you want a supplement, you need to read about it and figure out what forms they're taking and how they're doing it and all those things. You don't go to the drugstore and buy what's on the shelf or the, you know, Walmart or any of those. You do a little research.
Do you recall when I had mentioned that, you know, my sister had a lot of time with the airlines?
Yes.
And she was in management about the time that Jimmy Carter was elected, and she hosted him on his last civilian flight.
Uh-huh.
And I guess even Amy had brought her kitty along.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I would imagine she probably had security clearance and everything for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she had another episode where she had to take a bottle away from Guy Lombardo because he'd brought one on the plane.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Juiced up.
That must have been nice.
Yeah, well, you know how some of those things, the seasonal thing when I guess it, people are drinking and all that other stuff. And
yeah.
I had a couple other things I had wanted to mention, you know, when I called you before and never got around to it, but
I'm coming up against the news, so be quick and mention a few of them if you want.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm familiar with the, going into the emergency rooms and that. I've got a granddaughter that works in an ER. She's a registered nurse.
Uh-huh.
And if I told you what the kind of money that she can make on that job.
Oh, of course.
You can see why it's so high up, but I think it's a profession that I could have went for yeah. that kind of money. I know she's actually made over $1,000 in a shift, you know. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're seeing that very often, and it's still hard to fill those shifts.
Oh, yeah. It's
all right.
It's amazing.
Well, good deal. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, take care.
Okay, you too. All right, so hit the news. Then we got Karen, we got Tubby, and hopefully you two on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Sergeant Pappy has good taste. That's Castle in the Sky, one of only three known releases from the Bop Chords, and a fine one it was, as far as that goes. But it was on a holiday in 1956. But this was, you know, your basic kids on a Harlem street corner, as far as that goes. Their original name was the Five Sins. Gee, I wonder why that didn't go over. But they went through several names and finally came up with the Bop Chords because they liked the chords. And I'm not sure why they picked Bop. But nonetheless, the lead singer was just wonderful, as you could hear, but sadly died fairly early on. I mean, not in the 50s when they were first singing, but certainly about the time that all the doo-wop groups and everything started in the oldies revival in the 70s. Well, sadly, Ernest, the lead singer, was no longer with us. So that's the deal of a of them, and no known pictures of them back in the day, as far as that goes. You can find pictures of some of the members, but never got around to taking any official photos. They did make it to the Apollo, though. Yeah, so from a street corner to the Apollo, and fairly quickly, too. All right, so we have Tubby in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How you been, Tubby?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Look, you know I always make me a list, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go through this list real fast, first of all. And before I do that, I want to continue to encourage everyone, okay?
Yeah.
You can't give up. If you need some help, call the Riley James Show so you can get in the conversation with us, okay?
Yeah.
That's number one. Okay, number two. You know, it's been getting my goat, and it's always gotten my goat. The fact that servicemen come home, and I hear them talking about, oh, they got a mortgage or they lost their home. How can that be? That is a real, I really am ticked off about that. I don't understand that at all. I can't believe that we have a government that you can go and be in the trenches with somebody and just living out in some foreign country. Fighting, which is something that you don't normally do, but you're at war, and then you come home, and you don't get what you need. You don't have what you need.
Oh, I know.
And I always think from the perspective of having worked for Ethel and Teddy, and my old boss on Racial Drive, who was I knew her mama. She was raised right. She wasn't just, you know, it wasn't about money. She just came into money because she worked hard. But I'm just saying, this whole economic landslide that we have in America is just really gotten my goat. Okay, now, when you start talking about health care, you know, I remember I told you my boyfriend can't walk.
Yes.
It's like, and then last week, the children was trying to move him way out to Taylor's Heights, right? I said, and I was like, I think they were guilty because they felt guilty because they didn't bring him up for Thanksgiving. I cooked. They didn't come see him. I'm not mad at him. That's always going to be your daddy. And I told him these are always going to be your children, okay?
Right.
It's not about that. But I can get downtown, but I can't get to Taylor's Heights two or three times a week. Okay.
Right.
Now, he was lucky enough to be over there near the Gold Coast at a nursing home that has, they had sent him to Shirley Ryan. From Northwestern, okay?
Okay.
But he wasn't able to do Shirley Ryan because he was tired.
Oh.
He had a 7-hour heart surgery, okay?
Oh.
And now he can't walk. But the thing is, they tried to do right. But you know, at a hospital, you don't get no rest. They're in there all the time checking your vitals,
yes.
Okay? They're waking you up all the time.
Yes.
And he's a real methodical man. When I see the back, when I come in and his back is to me and he's napping, I don't wake him up because I know he's resting. Okay, go in the morning, he's playing with chess with somebody on a computer all around the world. But, okay, now back to health care. He got a Medicaid bill. And I'm just saying, you know, is that enough you work at all these other places? I got a family to go to McDonald's the other day. They came to the counter, and I saw them putting out orders. They were doing about 10 orders. You know, I'm a chef. I know they were busy. I didn't say nothing, but when they conveniently put the orders in the slot, they put their back to me and walked away. Didn't say, I'll be with you in a moment. Do you need anything? I had paid for my food.
Mm-hmm.
All I wanted was a glass of water. I was really feeling bad. So I told the lady, I said, all I need is some water. And the guy who took my order didn't say, do you need anything? It's never, these days, people just go, if I'm standing there, why would I be standing there if I didn't need something? Okay.
Right.
Okay. So then, when I said something to her, because I'll tell them, I cuss you out in Spanish better than I can cuss you out in English, okay? But I didn't come with that attitude. I said, I just need a cup of water. And I said, I can't believe that you all didn't even just ask me, do you need anything? I said, I paid for my food. I just need some water and I'm feeling well. So this guy came and cleared it out later. Because I got to the point, I said, well, just give me my money back. And she said, I'm not servicing you because... You know, I said, no, you have the attitude because you never asked me, did I need anything,
right.
Okay? You're working here, and I'm standing here quiet because I see him working. they're putting out about 10 orders. And so it wasn't like where I go in a place where I got an order and I know the people. I said, I need a pack of ketchup. And they pass it to me. It wasn't that situation. I just wanted a glass of water out of the Okay, now, on this list, Raleigh, people don't want to work.
Right.
People don't got so bad, a cab will go by, and the light's on, they go right past you. They don't even say, I can't do it. Okay, we got the vets. One big problem we have is greed. You know that whole period of history, the late 1880s, Edison, Ford, all those people, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Carnegie, okay? All this stuff was bumping off at the same time. Rockefeller was mad because he had the cold, and what's his name was trying to turn the lights on, and, you know. And then the other thing after all of this, where we're at today, is like when you get up, only in America, as far as I know, that you can get up and have such privilege in living. All you need is $5. I go to McDonald's, I said $5.20 tonight for two double hamburgers, okay? And I had my 50-cent bag of potatoes and my dollar Coke in my bag.
All right.
Where can you do that? Where else in the world could you just get up? And I got a free bus pass because I'm 72, okay?
Ah.
Where else in the world? Okay, so I get mad when I say water. When they was in Egypt, they was on TV. They had their cell phones up and all these people bunched together. And these people ain't got water. People in a lot of places in the world, people do not have water. I don't get it. I don't get this money thing. And it's greed. It's all it is. I know this. People in Europe didn't bathe. They ain't shower but once a week because they didn't have the pipe set up right.
Mm.
Okay. You have the situation. You have federal law, state law. You have urban and rural. So when the trains came in, that helped. And then after the Chinese helped with the railroad, they were the Japanese and the Chinese putting people in detention camps. I lived in Miami when the Haitians and the people were coming in from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like this. Their English was so perfect in Cuba in Miami because a lot of Cubans, you would not know that they were Cuban. Okay, it wasn't like a lot of other people that speak. The accent. I just happened to have been around and worked and, you know, was educated. I was lucky enough to live. I'm from Battle Creek, Michigan. But I know what it is to live even rural. My best friend, she's on the farm, and I'm on the haystack. I'm down there for the weekend. I said, Karen, when do we eat? She said, after I feed all the animals. I said, okay. But you know what I'm saying? When does America really start looking after folks? Meditation, education. Sometimes they make laws that you can't take. Where are the civic classes? Wait, I'm not talking Black history. I'm talking about basic education. American history, European history. They're just now fessing up to how they just all that land out west. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's gone beyond ridiculous. I'm just grateful I'm in Chicago. Like I said, I can get up and go to the corner store. I got a choice of McDonald's. I can go to all of them. I can go to Wendy's, Burger King, $5. A lot of people don't have that privilege. So what I'm saying is, what do we do about these situations? And then when you get to homelessness, when they brought all the people in from down, when they sent them to Chicago on them buses, you found room for them. I guarantee you, every day when I go out, there's somebody covered with like five blankets or so on the bus stop, living on the bus stop.
Oh, yeah.
Because they don't even have a shelter to live in. I'm just over it. So, I mean, you know, we have to always step up. And then when you get always, when I say Congress, I mean both houses. And, you know, I see such lack of character and integrity in a lot of our elected officials, not all of them. And I want to say right now, thank you for everybody who stands up for what's right and does what's right. This isn't the whole situation. This is part of the problem. But, you know, it's pretty ugly, though. It's pretty ugly. And you say, I'm proud to be an American. Well, you know, we really, you know, every day we count our blessings and we say thank you. Well, I want to tell you, Raleigh, I've been absent because things happen. But I want you to know I really appreciate this show. I want everybody to stay encouraged. Don't give up. Do what you can do. And stick to your principles. That's the only way you get through this. You ain't got to get up. Because I'll tell you, I am not going to 25th in California for none of these people out here that's acting crazy. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know what 25th in California is, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to ask you, where did you live in Miami?
I lived in Opa-locka.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
Up there by the border. And I worked, but I was all over the place. I had a woman. I was catering everybody at that time. I was doing Shirley Chisholm, Martha Ash, Andy Young. And I would go to the people's houses in the evening and do parties. And I had a place called Market to Market. I loved it. In Coconut Grove.
Uh-huh.
And I would order stuff. She would make my pates, the big colossal shrimp. Her vinaigrette was out of this world. It's a very, very light and tasty vinaigrette.
Wow.
And I would get all my food, and then I'd go to the people's houses and set it up at night. But I was a food service director at Florida Memorial College at that time.
Wow.
And, it was deep, but I got the whole Black experience. They sent me to Tuskegee. I lived in New Orleans. I worked in, I was in Houston at Prairie View Air there. Yeah, I was lucky. But what was most important is that God put really good people in my life. Including you and John, because it's people you have to. I heard you know that I had to get out of Boulder, Colorado, or somewhere.
Yeah, good old Denver. That's right, man. But Opa-locka is so neat. You know, the architecture in Opa-locka and places like Scheherazade Boulevard and Ali Baba Avenue, you got to love it.
Right. I know. It was, but you know what? I couldn't get to Miami. It was just too spread out. To get to the beach, you had to go all the way to Collins Avenue and all that madness. You know what I'm saying? You had to have a car.
Right. No, you had to have a car. The S-Bunch Park was not good enough. You could get from Opa-locka to Collins Avenue on that bus, but who'd want to? So
I know.
Yeah.
And then it takes you an hour. If you transfer buses, it takes you 2 to 3 hours to get where you're going.
Oh, that is absolutely true. Yeah, but it still was neat.
When you get down to Coconut Grove and when you get ready to get on that little causeway to go to down to the Keys,
yeah,
it was just beautiful down there. What was that other little neighborhood over there?
Well, Key Biscayne was there. Vizcaya was there. A lot is near Coconut Grove. Of course, you know, it borders on Coral Gables as well. So, and then in the 60s, it became like Hippie Hollow. Everybody took over Coconut Grove. But, yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah, and everywhere I've lived, and I am so grateful because I did D.C., New York, Boston, New Orleans, St. Louis, Houston, and it was, I had prominent positions in all of them, D.C., where I learned, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
California, like when I was in California, I was a private chef in Rancho Santa Fe, and you know, when I tell these stories, it's for people to understand that I know, I'm so lucky I don't have to pay for nothing because I'm Medicaid.
Yeah.
My salary, I never worked for money. It's all about service for me, okay?
Right.
I was telling you about doing Fresh and Nacho at the Four Torches. It was a lesson to know with the Four Torches and who owned the Four Torches and the basis for the Four Torches. And then I went to chef school. So feeding Elton John and all them, the experience of feeding Frank Sinatra every night and his crew. His entourage. I'm just saying it was... All of these were skills, and when you go to New York City, shut up, pay attention, learn something, okay? Because those people are cramped in this space, but it's not like everybody's got a bad attitude of me. It's just too many people, and people used to wait downstairs on Rockefeller.
Yeah.
They begging him every day. So it's an interesting life. But you know what? People don't give up. Sign you're happy. Do what you can, and then do what you can to help somebody every day. Get up trying to... I'm going to be a service today. I'm gonna smile at somebody. That's going to make their day.
Yeah.
That's all for tonight. I think I'm going to talk again, but I want to get in early because the last time I met you, and I did miss you, and then I got busy.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you called. It is always a delight to hear from you, Tubby.
I love y'all. I love y'all. And James and John and everybody.
Yeah. All right.
Stay encouraged. Love you.
Thanks, Tubby.
God bless.
All right. So, bye-bye. Neat. Chef in Rancho Santa Fe. Yeah, Rancho Santa Fe in San Diego County. It doesn't get pricier than that. All right, so we got Karen, we got James, and we're about to run out of time on WGN Radio.
I crashed in the jungle while I was trying to keep a date with my little girl who was back in the States. I was stranded in the jungle, afraid and alone, trying to figure a way to get a message back home. But I was out of know that the wreckage of my plane had been picked up and spotted in my girl in Lover's Lane. And meanwhile, back in the States.
Baby, baby, let me romance. You know your old-time lover has not a chance. He's standing in the jungle fattest he can be. So come on, pretty baby, just you and me.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle. The boys in the jungle had me on the run when something heavy hit me like an atomic bomb. When I woke up and my head started to clear, I had a strange feeling I was with cooking gear.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's the biggest version of it. The Cadets Stranded in the Jungle. Jack and St. Charles requested that version, 1956, on Modern. The Jayhawks had it originally as a flip side, and the Cadets heard it, covered it immediately, had a bigger hit with it. And several others tried it as well. You don't want to hear the Gadabouts. All right. or many others you don't want to hear either. But Karen is in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, I have a little humor to end the show.
Okay.
It's a cat, a girl cat singing to her Tom. You are such a real cool Tom. All the girls think you're the bomb. Until this morning, so did I. Now I feel like I could die. My friends have seen you running around with all the pretty girls in town. You don't love me, that's a lie, so let's just hiss and say goodbye.
Yeah.
I had all my love to give. We had all 9 lives to live. You can't make me understand. I won't believe you if you try. I just want to go back home where I'm safe and warm and dry. No more alleys will I roam. Let's just hiss and say goodbye. Let my human help me heal. Gonna miss you. Don't know why. Let them just know how I feel. Let's just hiss and say goodbye.
Well, all right. All right. Now, is that, by the way, is that to the tune of the Manhattans, Kiss and Say Goodbye?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's one more verse.
All right.
One more. They'll clean me up and groom my fur. They'll They'll clean me up and stroke my fur. They'll all be happy, so will I. They love to hear me when I purr. So let's just hiss and say goodbye.
That's great. That's terrific. All right. So now we have to get someone to sing it.
I thought we needed a little humor tonight.
Yeah, good deal. Absolutely.
another thing I'd like to know was on the bumper before this last one, who did that sax solo? Man, that was great.
On the bop chords, Castle in the Sky, is that what
yeah.
I played?
Yeah.
You got me. There were 5 guys in the band, and I think it was one of the 2 who left because they had drug problems. The lead singer was murdered. I mean, it's a real sordid history. But I'll try to find out who played sax on it.
Was a heck of a sax solo.
Yeah, I'm not sure it is one of the group members, but I'll find out and I will let you know.
Okay, and thank you have a great day. Right. I'll listen to you tomorrow.
Terrific. I look forward to it. All right. And apologies to James. We didn't get there, but we will tomorrow night. We have 3 big hours, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. Let's see. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. So do it again. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.